Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. On behalf of Building Families and Communities Institute, we're grateful to have you join us again for another dialogue that we hope will be insightful, instructive, and useful to you in the near future. It is December the 4th, 2018. And we are facing yet another year. But we're grateful for you to join us here. Talk Straight is a national dialogue platform that allows us to address certain issues specifically related to urban America and young people throughout urban America. There are some of us who really care about what happened to our young folk and our families in general. And we're doing everything we can to take our experience and what we have been afforded to learn and overcome that knowledge and to make a difference. So we ask that you join us. The number to call us here is 657-383-0944. Again, 657-383-0944. Just a note, we're not doing Facebook Live right now. Got to work through a couple of other things there. But nonetheless, we're here live on the podcast platform, the Blog Talk Radio platform. And you can shoot questions or comment on Facebook if you're listening to us on the Blog Talk Radio platform and you link from the Facebook page. We do have the page open and we will entertain your questions and comments that way, but we're not doing the live stream. On behalf of Pastor Ricky Waller, our gracious co-host, he's joined us. We want to again welcome you and invite you to share your questions and comments. All we ask is that you keep it relevant and that we show respect to one another. Sometimes our opinions may diverge or go in a different direction, but the hope is that at the end of the day, we will come to fact and truth and let that be our guide. All right? So with that being said, I'm going to in case you're new to the show, we do a monologue where we give context and background for our topic, and we open up the phone lines for you to share your ideas, your experience. I'm certainly looking forward to learning myself tonight. All right. Again, the number is 657-383-0944, and I hope to hear from you throughout the next hour and a half or so. When we consider the plight of urban American youth in 2018, it becomes obvious that there is one common variable, and that is the condition of the first exposure to society for those young people, their family orientation. It has tremendous impact on their lives. While this does not mean necessarily that they are forever doomed or that they're going to automatically be successful, it does serve as a guide for fixing that which is broken, specifically in urban American families. Hence the topic tonight, how to put a broken family back together. How to put a broken family back together. Why is that important? As I inferred or referred to, it is the family context that shapes a child's character, good or bad, good or bad. And when we look at and we seek to understand why so many young people find themselves in rather precarious and dangerous type situations as a child making adult-like decisions, it helps us to know that somewhere they missed out. And what is most important, but that we work not only to work with the child, but to strengthen and revitalize their family context. All right. Proverbs, the 15th chapter. I'd like to bring to your attention verses 25 through 27 briefly. It reads in this manner. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. Lastly, verse 27, he that is greedy, this is where I want you to pay your attention here particularly, he that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. But he that hateth gifts shall live. He that is greedy of gain trouble his own house, but he that hates gifts, handouts, hookups, shall live. Now let's talk about that in reference to the family being the center house of a child's orientation. Now, when we think about society and humanity, a family is a group of people related either by birth, blood, marriage, or some sort of relationship. Okay? Members of the immediate family may include a spouse or parents, brothers, sisters, sons, and daughters. Members of the extended family may include grandparents or your aunts or your uncles, your cousins, nephews, nieces, and even in-laws, things of that nature. Now, in general, the family is the principal institution for the socializing of children. What does that mean, Dr.? In other words, this is where it all begins, where they learn how to eat, how to walk, how to be respectful, how to be trustworthy, all those things. It's in the family context. As the basic unit for rearing children, generally, they may be classified by various organizations. This is how families may, you may see different families, especially in 2018. We've moved away from God's intent for the family originally to what now is legally acceptable to be called a family. But consider these. Matrifocal, that where there is a mother and her children, or the single-parent mama home. Conjugal, where there is a husband, his wife, and children. This is what we commonly refer to as the nuclear family. Or you have a situation where it's known as avuncular, for example, where there's a grandparent, where you have brother and sister and her children, basically. And you have a mixture of people, or big mama's house, as we might call it. Okay. Then there is what's known as the extended family, where you have parents and you have children who co-live together with other members of their family, cousins, and sometimes friends, folk like that. Now, why is that important? Because when you expose a child to all of that, you have to ask yourself what sort of structure, what sort of discipline, what sort of planning is there for that child to grow up with? Who are they being exposed to? Are the examples good or are they bad for them? Okay? Some people think it's okay for children to be around every and anybody. No, trust me, that's not a good idea. Some people are, they provide deleterious influence on even adults, let alone children. Okay? Just for a second, let me talk about what some of the research on family suggests out there, sociology and psychology. It's identified several characteristics that known successful families have. Okay? In other words, families that do well in these areas, they tend not to have problems in dealing with stressful situations that are economic in nature, that are social in nature. Even they know how to deal with health-related issues and things of that nature without it breaking them. Now, on the other hand, families that have difficulties in the areas I'm going to point out, they tend to have more problems remaining together or resolving issues, either individually or as a collective group. Now, these are some of the things that, if they're in place, you can assure that children are learning from healthy examples, that they will in turn take these lessons and live productive lives because they know how to continue them in the context of their own family. Okay, that makes sense to you. And I'll be brief, and then OJ's got something they want to say. I'm going to let the OJ's talk to us for a second. Well, one, problem solving. That is critical. That is the family, the unit's ability to resolve problems, okay, so that they can function. Children need to learn that everything in life may not be just like you want it. But when there's a breakdown, there's a challenge, there's an issue, there's an appropriate way to address it. And developing problem-solving skills are important. By them, these examples of their parents and other family members, they too learn, as an individual, how to do the same thing. Communication. And what we're talking about is oftentimes you ask young people, I don't care. Well, being able to communicate your thoughts and your feelings is a healthy thing. And if you can't talk to your blood, to your family, to your own people about them, my goodness, who else are you going to be able to share it with? So what happens is when you go out into the larger social context with non-family members, it's easy for them to make you the laughing stock and make jokes out of your troubles. But if you can share that and communicate that with your family, you are able to work through those things again together. So we got problem-solving skills, the ability to communicate, to share information, and to listen to information. Then identified roles. I said roles, yes. Now, what some people don't want to do is to make sure that people understand that there are specific roles for everybody in the family. You got the father. And I realize that in those situations where you have single-parent mom, that there is no father. I get that. We're talking about what's ideal and what we can do to fix the problem in urban America, and that is to encourage, again, that these elements are present. Identified roles. If you're going to get with somebody physically and have a physical relationship, you need to be thinking about starting a family. Yeah, before you see what it looked like, you understand what I'm saying. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't make me have to talk straight, real straight with y'all. So the father, the role of the mother and the children should be well-defined. Too often what we're seeing today is that children are running things. They're calling the shots because there's no well-defined role of authority from the father, the mother, and the children, and what their places are. As I said earlier, children are forced to make adult-like decisions for themselves. What are they going to eat? Where are they going to lay their head? If and what clothing they're going to wear, and how they will be able to identify themselves day by day. Then effective responsiveness. What do you mean by that, Doctor? The family needs to be able to respond emotionally to other family members. If your brother is having a problem, guess what? You got a problem too. If my brother's sick, guess what? I'm sick too. It's not that his problem. I ain't got nothing to do with that. Part of the breakdown in the urban American experience, and particularly in the African American experience, is that it's every man for himself and God for us all. That's a problem. And it leads people to say, I got to be on the snatch and grab, and I got to kill or be killed. I got to get mine before they get it ahead of me. That's a dangerous situation, but unfortunately it happens all too often, particularly in the urban American experience. Again, not for everybody. I'm not saying this is everybody, but I'm speaking of in these healthy family situations what you can expect to see, okay, and how these things lead to the success of each of those family members. All right, so effective responsiveness, being able to respond to your brothers and your sisters and just share those experiences and feelings in a love and tenderness, joy, happiness, and not out of anger, okay? Then the other one is effective involvement. What does that mean? The family needs to be able to show that they are concerned about one another. That you really care. Young people feel like, I don't give a blank because they don't care about me. I'm going to get it the way I live. That's where that mentality comes from. I got to get my hustle on because don't nobody care about me but me. But in a healthy family context, there is effective involvement with your brothers and your sisters where there is expressed value, expressed interest, and care for one another. And you look out for one another. Then lastly, behavioral control. This refers to patterns of behaviors or actions that the family adapts when they're dealing with different types of situations. A lot of young people are ready to fight or take flight. Because in their family orientation, what they've learned is you can't trust nobody. And if you don't keep people up off you, they're going to hurt you. Okay? So oftentimes they're really experiencing paranoia, this fear that somebody or something is. Can you imagine what that's like when you have family members you can't trust, you don't love, you can't get along with? That's got to be depressing. But in a healthy family context, there's behavior control where family adopts this pattern of dealing with situations together and sharing one another's circumstances. All right? So just as a brief review, we talked about just recently behavior control, effective involvement with one another, responsiveness to one another, identified roles or responsibilities, communication with one another, all right, and problem solving together. These are the key things that consider will help put a broken family back together. Listen to what the OJ says right quickly before we open up our phone lines. 657-383-0944 is the number to call. And just briefly.
You love together.
Some of us don't know our families are broken. But guess what? When you look at the effect in the behaviors of our young people, there's clear evidence that there's a problem. We say that in love because our intention is to put them back together. We're on the line tonight with Pastor Ricky Waller. How you doing, sir?
I'm all right. Yeah.
All right, good. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can. Yeah.
All right, great. Good deal. Appreciate you joining us tonight. 8112 is with us. Welcome, 8112.
Okay.
Thank you. How are you guys?
Wonderful.
All right,
wonderful.
How about you?
My good friend out of Cashville, a.k.a. Nashville, 1098. How you doing, brother Outcast?
Oh, good.
All right. So, guys, I believe you all heard some of what we were talking about in terms of I tried to identify some characteristics of a healthy, productive family. And I did that not to make anyone feel as though if they don't have these things, they're less than, but to indicate where we need to work toward getting all our families together. Because that's where the breakdown is. Before they come at the house, if your stuff ain't together at home, you know, you bring that outside with you. Am I wrong about that? Somebody help me with that. I know you know. What do you think about that?
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, you're not supposed to, because that's like taking your drama out on somebody else's. But sometimes
right.
That's a person's way of reach crying out for help.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, I mean, feel like you ain't got nowhere else to go. Who else but you're supposed to be able to turn to outside family?
Wow.
It don't always look like that, however. Sometimes it's the people out there in the streets people turn to.
I'm going to get to that. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
I appreciate hold that thought. I'm going to get to that. That's exactly where we were going. As to why they go out to the street looking for value, for validation, for importance. But I thank you for saying that. Pastor, you want to weigh in on that, Doc?
Yeah, it's heading in the right direction. You know, that's what's beneficial. You know, you was talking about your song, sitting, talking about some of the things that's been going down. And, you know, when you know, being a community-oriented, you know, type of individual that I am, I think about this family as a whole, you know, what's going on in the community and how, you know, the needs are not being met and things like
right. That.
It's caused me to continue, and some of the things that have been stripped from the community-oriented way of living life, it causes it to drift even further out of the realm of what the power could be in togetherness, because
yes.
That's where you know you find in agreement when they say where there's two or three gathered, and that's the thing about the community is if they're not gathered, then they're being separated by the cares and the many things that the world has to offer, which is so much, and it's too difficult for the young people to grasp. So they feed into
right. And
get further out into the loss of identity, I would say. And, it's tough. It's not easy, man. It's very tough upon the people. Yeah, it is.
You know, Outcast, you want to weigh in on that, Doc, right quickly?
No, I'm just listening.
Oh,
listening.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
So I was going to say, guys, that when you think about, I used to ask myself, why is it? I remember growing up in my experiences in the housing areas, and you know this notion of a black female 8112 getting grease, putting it on her face, and tying up her shoes. You know what she's about to do then, don't you?
Nope.
She about to scrap, right?
When they get to putting their earrings out and things,
yeah. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. But guess what? Unconsciously, this becomes a normal pattern of instruction that young people learn. It's not in the book nowhere. It ain't in no book nowhere. But young men learn that when you go out, you got to be ready to what? Knuckle up with somebody, lock up with somebody, right? And watch their behavior and their patterns so you'll know who is a threat to you. Am I wrong, guys? I mean,
you're right.
And I ask myself, why is it that when you take a young person growing up under these circumstances and you put them in a social setting with people who are not so adamant to behave in that way or to see things, why do they have problems with it? Why do they have social conflict? Why are you going to have a fight? Why when they go to the club, somebody got to start shooting? Why is it when we get together, we seem not to be able to be in agreement, Pastor, even in the house of God? Can y'all help me with that?
I ask myself that all the time. Why people just can't do what they're supposed to do? Visit, go home, and say I had a good time.
Right, right. I would argue. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just said it is a powerful question because, like I said, I say it all the time. Why can't you just enjoy each other like you used to? We used
right.
to, and just no. I mean, back in the day with so many of us, we was our own best friend.
Well, that's true. Can I give you an answer to that? Well, let's try to have a conversation. Because I thought about this, and I really focused my attention on how to get us to answer this question. Because in my view, Pastor Wally, if we answer this, we can resolve a lot of issues for the grown folk and their babies. But see, I'm convinced it ain't just the young people that are out of order. It's not just youth we need to focus on. It's grown folk, too. Because if it's true that it takes a village to raise a child, if the village, the grown folk in the village are sick, they're going to pass their sickness on to the child. I know I'm right about that now. But, Pastor Wallace, I ask myself or ask this question, why is it that we assume that you're supposed to always have conflict when you're interacting in society? It's expected today in 2018 that police are supposed to chase brothers down. You're supposed to have negative interaction. Is that necessarily the case? And why, then, is it that brothers, when they go out and they go to interact in different social settings, there's a conflict? Well, I believe there's an answer. Pat, you want to weigh in on that?
Basically, I actually think, you know, and really actually have experienced it by coming up young, you know, they really want to have fun. They want to be able to, what they would call, get together and kick it, all the fellas and catch, you know, they make it a business to assemble, you know, and bring forth what they would call a joy. I mean, that's just the desire that they have when they step out. Most of them do. And in times now, with the language changing of the things that's being said, and you know, and not knowing that the Word of God does say that life and death is in the power of the tongue, and so there's a language that they speak. They speak the language of death in such a way, but they don't speak it as if they're really trying to bring harm, but actually it's because of it, it actually has substance to bring forth harm. It's just no way to get around it. You know, they can call it that we're just rapping, but they don't have no knowledge about the power of those words and how it have, again, substance. And if you don't know that, if you don't know that the Word of God says that, then you just consider that you're just kicking it. So when the fellas pull up, and I've seen them respond like this, I've seen them pretend like they have a gun in their hand, even if there's no gun around. You know, they can pretend like they have one, and shooting the person that's coming up, that's all right with them, just by way of kicking it. And I've seen that performed. I've seen it carried out. And so, again, it's because of the language. And if there's no positive power in the language, then there would be some negative power in the language, which would cause more destruction. And that's the reason why it's so needed out there for someone who have substance and evidence of what it's all about, you know, and that's why I believe still today, you know, that I can't get around the fact that the Bible says that for the people that hold those Bibles in their hand, most of the time are in the church, and you know, they pull them out faithfully, and they don't pull them out every now and then. They pull them out faithfully when they attend church, but what do they do after they pull them out? I don't think it lines up for most of them, because it says go out into the world, meaning that those people who are out there speaking that language deserve to hear some positive, some truth, you know.
Right.
You know,
we got a caller.
Just the way it is.
When you finish, we'll go to our caller there.
Yeah, okay, you got it. Go ahead.
Great point you're making. New caller there. This is Talk Straight. This is Reverend Dockery, your host, and Pastor Ricky Wally, co-host. We got Brother Outcast on from Nashville, and affectionately known as Mama D out of Peoria, Illinois. Welcome to the conversation. Question or comment? Caller at 111. Okay. Well, feel free to join us when you get ready there, caller. I don't know if you can hear us. I'm not sure what's going on there, but we see you on our screen. Okay, that 3072 has just joined us. 3072, welcome to the conversation. We're talking tonight from the topic, how to put a broken family back together. And so Pastor Waller made a very important point, and he suggested that there's a certain language of communication in the hood that people bring to the streets and to social gatherings with, that is just unhealthy. I'm paraphrasing what you said, Pastor. I hope I'm not doing any injustice to your words.
Oh, yeah.
But
that's it.
But I mean, I tell you, that's something. 3072, welcome. Question or comment so far?
No.
Okay. Well, appreciate you joining us. So I asked the question, why is it that every time we get together, even in churches, some folks can't get along with one another. When they go to the club, it's always, you kind of know if it's going to be black folk there, because somebody's going to get shot, a fight's going to break out, somebody's going to say the wrong thing to somebody's old lady. And I'm going to talk straight tonight now, y'all, okay? So y'all just bear with me. Or somebody's going to get jealous of somebody else. Now, let me talk about the old lady. Now, in my family, somebody should have taught me how to properly dress and to present myself in social settings as a child. Now, I bring my old lady to the club, 8112, right? And she dressed in such a way that I like the way she looked, and everybody else do too. Is that going to lead to some problems?
It shouldn't. Because you should feel enough within your woman that you know she ain't going nowhere with nobody but you, regardless of who is what, long as you don't disrespect her.
Okay, so wait a minute. You say disrespected. What does that mean?
Talking under her clothes and bad gestures behind your back, or if they was there behind your back, you wouldn't see them anyway. Or
now,
doing disrespectful things in front of you as it being her husband or man.
Yes, ma'am. So now, let me describe how she's dressed. Okay. Her clothes are so tight they look like they're painted on, and she's got a skirt on that comes right up to her hip line. And what it brings accent to is her body structure, her waist, her breast, and her buttock. Is it, for lack of a better word, is it unfair, 3072, for a fella not to say, you sure looking good tonight? Now, he done drank him a little cognac. Because they're at the club. That's what you do at the club. You drink, though. Is that right? 3072, is that right?
Everybody don't drink at the club.
Wait.
Okay.
Everybody don't?
Oh. Everybody do not.
Well,
I've seen people, I bartend before. They drink sodas. Some of them just sit there just drinking orange juice, just having a good time, just having company around.
Well, let's talk about the ones that do drink. And when they drink, they don't know what to do with themselves. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, okay.
Go ahead,
3072. Well, you were asking, is it unfair? Well, I mean, we know in the world of 2018 that any and everything goes out of people's mouths now. It's ridiculous. But I would argue to a point. My girlfriend and I once had a debate on, she think it's tacky that women nowadays don't wear pantyhose or stockings like they used to. Me,
okay.
Personally, I mean, I feel like I have a nice set of legs and I don't really find pantyhose or stockings comfortable. She was saying it just looks bad. But then again, I was pointing out, you know, another lady. I'm like, now look at her. Why are you not saying nothing about her? I think it depends on the body structure, too, of the woman that's in question here. So if your lady is pow, pam, and booming, I mean, versus maybe somebody else has a slender, straight up and down woman that really doesn't have a lot of curves, you know. So, you got to know what kind of package you present out there.
So
rather
than to
put everything on display or not. I mean,
I guess
it just depends to me.
So in the context of family, what would a father and a mother teach their daughter about how to properly dress when you're interacting outside of your home? Add this to that before you respond. And what would a father and a mother teach their daughter is appropriate not to put your husband in a situation where he always got a pop on somebody when you go out social? Talk to me about that.
Me personally, being in the situation I'm in with my daughter now, there are certain things that I don't let her walk out of this house with me or without me, but especially with me, with on over here with these fools, right? So, yeah, please don't put that on. Don't go out there with that on. You're right.
Why?
Because, again, why? Because you know that where you at and right. Idiots are going to be idiots, and no, it's not fair, but then again, it is. They haven't been taught any home training or manners, and they don't know. Even, I mean, it could be, she could be covered up and just have a nice pair of slacks on, and it's been an argument for many women. I can't help because, man, mama blessed me with what she gave me. I mean, I look how I look, so sometimes no matter what you put on, a fool is going to be a fool. And if he's untamed, he's untamed. She could have a long dress on. And it's still, you know, but, right, you should not, you know, if you know especially where you are and where you're going, not right, because that's how they act. So you got to protect yourself.
So now let's identify who this, quote, fool, unquote, you just referred to is. This is somebody's son. It's likely somebody's son, right?
Somebody daddy, somebody uncle,
or
somebody pastor, somebody, yeah.
Oh, what?
Somebody
pastor. Come on, Pastor Waller, help me out, man. Help me out.
You know she's going to hit hard now.
I'm telling you the truth.
Hey, 30,
okay,
32,
right.
Doing that now.
Okay.
Okay,
they shouldn't be doing that.
Yes, what'd you say, Kim?
What'd you say?
But they're different comments. Ooh, Lord have mercy. Well, ooh, you know, versus, somebody on the street is going to be raw and filthy. He's still lusting, is what I'm saying. The thought is still lustful.
So that takes me back. That takes me back to my monologue. When we talk about these traits of a healthy family that serve as the basis of healthy instruction for young people, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of them is having to give and to receive respect from your parents and from your siblings, right? If you have it. And then you learn to show that same respect to other people. There's nothing wrong with thinking that a young lady is attractive.
That's
right.
I happen to
think 8112 is fine as wine in the wintertime. Blow your mind on the dam. But, I mean, ain't nothing wrong with that, is 8112?
I don't feel like that, but thank you. But I guess.
My point is, it's appropriate way in an inappropriate way to say and do everything.
Yeah.
I think
sure.
It gets back to what Dr. Wallace was saying. But again, it's these core values that ideally in families, every child should have. You would think every child know better than to go out and to put your hand on somebody's behind because you think they look good.
Are groping men or boys.
Or for a female to shake up a hand in front of somebody. Are y'all walking with me? Well, so again, let's talk about in urban America, things that have been acceptable as normal. Where did we get that from? When did we have this breakdown in the family context, in the value system? You would think that all the black folk that's going to church all these years, but I heard you say something that concerned me, 3072. You said the preachers are the one hollering. That kind of messed me up right there, now.
And I'm sorry. What I was trying to say, and I'm not trying to say that all preachers, but I'm saying even some of them. I mean, so it's an across the board. It's an untamed and whoever's untamed. I mean, there are some pastors out there who I've seen went and got a blanket, a sheet, or something to put on your legs, honey. Please cover yourself up.
I'm glad you said that because that's where I wanted to go. I know of pastors back in the day, they had a rule in the church that when you came in, if you were not dressed as they considered to be in holy or appropriate apparel, they instructed the mothers and the ushers to help you find some clothes to put on. Because you just weren't coming up in there looking any kind of way.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? And they encouraged membership to teach this at home. But guess what? We had more fathers then. In 1970, Andrew Billingsley writes about the black families in America. He does an excellent job. He and Carol McAdoo of demonstrating how there was a major decline in certain social values, or we may even pass a while and call them spiritual values. But let's just say social values in the context of society in general. Well, these social values were the context for these healthy instructions and behavior patterns from families, even though they were poor. They were financially and economically poor because by virtue that they didn't have a certain amount of money and they had large families typically, okay? But poverty didn't come with a destructive mentality. Here we are in 2018. Here we are in 2018, and when you trace the violence, you see that there's a connection to the poverty. And when you examine the poverty, you see that there's a connection to a major breakdown in the family. Now, I was asking, why is that? Well, I'm convinced that there are three factors. One, Pastor Waller, there are policies that are anti or against healthy family structures, particularly for those people who depend on public resources. In other words, in order for you to qualify, you got to come to us like you're blind, crippled, and crazy all at the same time.
Yes, sir.
Because you don't qualify for them if you don't. What does that mean?
Yep.
You got to be a single parent mama, and the daddy, you got to lie like, even if he ain't, you got to lie like your daddy can't be found on.
Mm-hmm.
How many of us know that 9 o'clock in the morning, he clearing his voice in the bed next to you, and you done lied like he ain't nowhere? Come on, talk to me, somebody.
Well, okay, well, I'm sorry. So he shouldn't be like, nobody should feel sorry for him. If that's how you got your woman, no. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I'm not suggesting that you, go ahead.
Well, first of all, if it were me, you wouldn't be laying in my bed and I got to lie to a social worker about you not being around.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
All right.
You can't be there. Like, to me, that falls back on manhood.
Sure does.
Manhood.
Sure
if we have to, if me and my 12 kids have to eat beans every day, as long as we're being nourished and we got somewhere to stay, I'm not finna tell these people no lies, and I'm not finna be disrespected, for one, by the system, and two, by my children, by me having to step down or play less of a role as a man than I should be. Maybe I'm not all the man that I, you know, can be, but I am a man, and I'm doing the best I can for right now. People need to be taught that. That needs to be instilled again.
Yes, ma'am. Come on.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, baby. I was
No, you're good. You're good.
A long time ago, people had no choice.
Okay.
It was the only way for you to excel. In so many words, to have some, yeah, that happened, baby. Before you was born, it happened for real. In order for you to get some of the things that you needed, and a few things that you wanted for you and your family, you had to do that. But it's been to a point for the last probably 40 years or 30 some years, they made it possible where you don't have to just sit and tell that lie anymore. If you got a family.
Well,
one with you. If you want to get that man your food for your kids, who's the food? You are best for them, not him.
Well,
and if he's
not
working, he's only an asset. He's a plus, not a minus. If he's working, you ain't got to tell them he live with you, because these days caseworkers would not come to your house because they scared. Folks used to beat them up.
No, I wouldn't either, but I was going to say, I strongly disagree with people not having choices.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Hey,
I mean, no. Okay.
Well,
yeah.
I want you to, I hear where you come. I want you to consider something, though. I want you to consider something.
Yeah.
It was a situation in 1965 when, well, really, let's go back to 1951 with the Housing Act, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I think it was Eisenhower that was the president. Well, the way it was set up, black folk were living, particularly up north, up south, down south, they were living on plantations still, very much. And up north, they were in ghetto-type slum situation. When they built the housing project, they were supposed to provide better housing. But, there were conditions in order for you to get those houses. And a lot of times, African-American males could not find work. Like they wanted to take care of their families in the factory. And I think this is what 8112 is referring to. So what they did was the woman and the male said, you go get the public aid, right? I'll work and I'll just come when we think the social worker is not there. And this is how we'll make it happen. Unfortunately, there's been this negative evolution, though, to where now the baby mama syndrome says that your baby mama is supposed to get resources, and you're supposed to eat and sleep and take and be taken care of. I mean, it's a reality.
Because in essence, that's what was going on then. When whoever implemented that plan implemented it, I know they were trying to protect the man. However, to me, that was the worst thing that they could have done to destroy his very identity as a man.
Right. Well,
to me, it made you more of a man, I think, to take your family pillar to post wherever you had to go, as long as y'all were together.
Interesting.
As long as you were together and you were fending, and you were honestly trying, I don't even honestly believe that God would have kept you in a low place. I don't. But when you settle, yes, go ahead.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
No. You're on to something. It's interesting you would say that. Now, unfortunately, that was not the orientation for most people, because you had a number of factors. You had a number of factors. People believe in family. They believe in by
yeah.
that I mean giving birth to children. Their real
yes.
value is in their children, right? And so
mm-hmm.
they didn't want to lose that, but at the same time, economically, they were challenged. And many
mm-hmm.
of them didn't have a lot of education, so that
mm-hmm.
they consigned them certain types of jobs, right?
Right.
And oftentimes
right.
those jobs were not readily available. So there are a number
right.
of factors. All of these things impacted the family and caused them to be broken. Today,
yeah.
there are some lessons we can learn, though, in terms of reversing that process. Now, one of the other things we've got to do, Pastor Waller, though, is that we've got to deprogram many of our brothers and sisters' minds from the notion
yep.
that I don't have to let go of what makes me feel good right here, right now, and make no sacrifices.
Right.
Can I bring Pastor Wally in on that right quickly? What do you think about that, Pastor Wally?
You know, I was sitting there, man, just thinking about something that 3072 said, man, that it's brought forth great energy as a reminder of the continuation day by day style of living. One, as
mm-hmm.
I said earlier, could drift. Innocent people are drifting more and more each day because of the lack of information. And
right.
I emphasize a great deal on the show continually about the reason why I don't trust myself.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's valuable. It's valuable for me as a minister in something that I'd rather not to even be called. I think I would take my nickname over any name that I have. And that don't even have anything to do with the basketball. That has to do with
wow.
the original nickname that I come up with. However,
mm-hmm.
you'd be put in the category a lot unintentionally because what you said is so true. And, you know, it's amazing that when the temptation and the looks and the sound and all those things be combined together, it speaks a language
mm-hmm.
without even talking. A person don't even have to say anything. They have that look. There's a language in the look.
Wow.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And that's where she's coming from, and it happens to take place. And then me coming from the way I once upon a time was living, you know, know nothing about the Bible and anything like that, you know, just living the street life. And there was a certain look that came from the club. And when I seen that look, I had my focus on what that look would bring forth. And so it makes a long story
yep.
short. I'm not going to go into a whole lot of other things about it, but my goodness, she's on point to the point where even the preachers get caught up. I don't know if they're going to put no sheet up on your leg. Yeah, they ain't going to tell them to put no sheet up on their legs and all that stuff.
They're
going to
knock the sheet off her leg.
You know what I'm saying? You see, because the reason I say that, 37, and then I've then got to where I'm going to be just like them just because, knowing good where I came from.
Yeah.
You know, it ain't telling about whether they had on or what they didn't have on. I had one thing in mind in my come up, but now since I came over to ministry, now I'm being charged with what they being charged with. You see what I'm saying? You know, so it's amazing. I like how you brought it up. So that's why I don't trust myself.
Now,
it's a beautiful thing that I don't trust myself, according to the Word of God. Proverbs 28, verse 26 states very clear, whosoever trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whosoever walks wisely shall be delivered. So that's the reason why in my daily walk, I can't afford to trust myself. And I thank her for bringing that up. You know, that's what you're supposed to do, keep it real, and that's what she did, man.
I think it's natural that a man finds a woman attractive. praise God for that.
Yeah.
Thank you,
okay.
Jesus. And I think that's what Reverend Dockery is trying to get to, that you
mm-hmm.
already are naturally attractive. You already turning heads and catching eyes, regardless.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you thin,
right.
tall, short, fat, whatever.
Yeah.
To accentuate, to add to that, to like try
that's
to
right.
seduce and entice. Right. How much do you want? All you got, what you want? What you want? You want somebody to snatch you, grab you, touch you, talk dirty? What do you want? Depending on what you got on is exactly what you're going to get and where you going.
Look, hey, 3072, what about if culturally we said beauty, the greatest beauty that a woman had was that in the role of a mother in the context of a family? How about that?
It is.
How about that? Then she ain't got to go and try to put no gold and glitter on to make herself look like anything other than what she naturally is. But that
mm-hmm.
means she got her. That means her male counterpart, her man, is there to affirm to her.
Take this: us women are looking for good men. That's the sign.
Okay.
That's the sign. You looking for a good man? Put that. Y'all, excuse my expression. Put the whole gear on and see what you attract. Go home and change into the motherly gear and see what you attract.
Lord,
you can go on two different dates and then you come back at the end of the evening and tell me how each date went.
Girl,
what kind of conversation y'all have?
Yeah,
speaking all of this is from experience, recent experience.
Yeah.
I know,
yeah,
I've tried, I've trust me. Been there, done it.
It makes sense.
What kind of gear on?
She said, "Put that gear on."
Put the whole gear on.
And let
yeah.
me tell you
and
what
that,
the whole gear consists of. Sometimes that's those stilettos. That's them tight jeans.
Yeah.
That's that $160 hair weave. That's that red fiery lipstick. That's that low cut shirt. Yeah, put all that
Lord
on
have.
And see what you get.
Mm-hmm.
See what you get. See what kind of dates you're going to have.
Wait a minute.
Yeah,
see if you hear from him again after he get what he wants. You won't.
What?
You won't.
81-12, help me out now.
I done had on before. I done had the stilettos, all that, and the banging body.
Oh, they done it.
And guess what? I look damn good. Excuse my French. And
all
I got
right,
a lot of compliments
right.
because at the end of the night, the same way I came was the same way I was leaving by myself.
Right.
But it's unfortunate. Most women don't. They don't. They go
now,
the same
they
way
don't
they.
Like yourself.
They go home. That's what I'm saying. So that's the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah, I know. What
honestly,
you're saying.
And there's nothing wrong with a woman or a man going out hoping to be successful in finding somebody he can truly date, truly meet, truly get into. No, what you find in essence is you're attracting the wrong people that's not looking for what you're looking for.
Well, you know what
you
I
lured him in.
I'm going to tell you what I saw. It's been
mm-hmm.
like 4 years ago. It wasn't even three. Last time I went out like that. And I wasn't dressed like that, but I went out. And it was a mixture of the crowd. And I was so uncomfortable, I haven't been back out since, like, I haven't been because, and the reason why I was comfortable, and it wasn't because necessary, because these girls look dang on good now. I ain't going to lie, I ain't gay. But it's not what you wear, it's how you wear it.
Yeah.
And it's not what you do, it's how you do it, as well as it's not what you're saying to somebody, it's how you say it. And that falls true every time. Because you can wear what you want to wear as long as it ain't got your cat showing and you gapping your legs, just being nasty. I mean, just being low grade. You got to have standards about yourself. And you can pretty much get along with whatever you want to wear, how big you want to wear.
Well, I'll say this. Where after my divorce, I had a little streak where I went crazy. It was just me, and I'm going to go get attention. Yes. honey, wrong attention. Wrong attention, because that attention is really not what you want. And what I'm saying is, ladies have to learn that. They have to figure that out. And if anybody out there is listening tonight, that is not what you want. If you're looking for some, don't go wrong. Don't put the wrong stuff on, because you're going to attract the opposite of what you're trying to get. They see you on display, like you got something to sell, they buy.
Let me do a station break here, lady. You're listening to Talk
Straight. Okay, sorry.
We're talking from the topic. No, you're okay. How to put a broken family back together. Your host, Reverend Dockery. And we've had some really good conversation here. And it sounds like then we have a basis for reteaching in 2018.
Yes,
well,
Lord.
You know what? We only got three more weeks in 18, so three or four more weeks, so we better get ready for 19, huh?
Yes.
657-383-0944. We still got about 29 minutes if you want to join in. We do have a caller here that looks like it's in our board. Your number is reading as 111. If you've been listening and you have a question or comment, we'll be happy to entertain that now. All righty. Going once. Going twice. What about it? So,
can I say something? Or I forget.
Yeah, go ahead.
Like
go
you
ahead.
Were saying, how to put a broken family back together again.
Yes, ma'am.
There was a point in time in my life, and I mean my immediate family, my family I gave birth to. I had to do that.
Okay.
And
okay.
I was crying, I was praying, I was hoping, I was wishing. Right. And what I figured out was this. I didn't break it, but I got to put it back together because this is my.
All right, man.
And
I kept praying every day. I talked to my divine father. I still do. And he guided me, even when I didn't think he was. He did, and the family came back together again. We still have our little crooks and cramps in there sometimes, but I always told my kids, a family that prays together stays together.
Watch it.
Sure.
Watch it.
And I believe that from my heart. And so when I have family functions, they're usually large. First thing we got to do is give thanks to God.
All right.
And we have to pray for one another, and that's what we do. We did that Thanksgiving. Some of them act like they didn't want it done. Oh, excuse me. This ain't want nobody eating here today. And we did. We did that. Things calmed down again. They wasn't hectic in the first place, but, you know, people get hungry at Thanksgiving. Everybody ready to jump in somebody's house and just eat. Don't work like that. So I say it again. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to say that. Family that prays together, I think it's it may go divided, but Lord can do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? A lot of millennials, it's reported, don't value a whole lot, and that's traditional religious principles or ideas. They tend to want to look to the popular teachings of society today that you see on YouTube, on Facebook, or some of these other social media sites. So that's where they go to for their guidance. And they say that they conducted a research study recently and showed that many of them tend to be depressed and feel unwanted.
Yes.
Because when they go on social media, they put all of themselves out there, but they don't get the attention or the affection, the validation that they're looking for. And many of them pull themselves away from their family into their devices, right?
Uh-huh.
And then another world, they tapped out of reality. But when it can't give them what they're looking for, it leads them to some depression. That's an interesting thing because it speaks to 2018. Oh, hold on one second. It speaks to 2018, one of the major factors for this continual breakdown in the family value itself, which asks a quite basic question. I'm coming right to you, 37. As a parent, how important is it that you even control access to external information for your children as they're growing up? Go ahead, 37.
I was just going to agree 100% with you. Even at in the ages of 40s, I mean, people, it's real. You, what you do, you go on the social media, and you're viewing everybody else's. Some of it be lies, and people taking fake pictures, and we're doing this, and we're doing right, and it makes you look at yourself like, okay, well, now, not that you're trying to compete, but I want to have something good to say too. Or I want 62 people to like my page. Or I want, you know what I'm saying? So that's true. And, yeah, you should control that because they should not, nobody should be validated by anyone else. That's something that has, that should come first with that, yourself.
Yeah. I was talking to a young man, Outkast, and he was talking about this is where his notion, he must have been, I guess, 22. And I guess this is his notion about females and where their headspace is, right? He said, man, all you got to do is go on Facebook and look at them. They be putting that stuff up there. Look at the pictures they take. And I said, look, man, that's not real. As you said, 37-2, a lot of times those are fake pictures or, you know, they literally dressed up to give a certain impression. I'm not knocking anybody. I'm simply saying that, unfortunately, the context of reality or the perception of reality is so twisted for a lot of. And as you said, it's not just young people. It's a lot of old folks that get caught up in the game, too. Man. I mean, that's the sad part about it. That's the real sad part.
People and this society now is driving everybody's minds on every level now. The society is.
Now,
and that's
so
pretty sad. That's
so 37-2, guess what God designed to control your mind, to control your instruction, to control your action. Guess how God designed this thing. From the very beginning. That's exactly what social media has done. These people who are controlling people have tapped into a certain reality. And the truth of the matter is, by far, the greatest impact on a child's outcome and their outlook in life is their biological parents, good or bad.
Yep.
Good or bad, right? Because God's intention from creation was that they function as in the role of the father, a priest, a provider, a teacher. In the role of the mother, a nurturer, a teacher, as well as a confidant. You know, and people are looking for those. You've heard the phrase, looking for love in all the wrong places. I mean, I'm convinced that this is the answer to the question, how did the family get broken and where do we come? Society has crept into mores and folklores of popular society. It's crept into the hearts and minds of the parents, the people that brought babies here. And maybe they're not aware of that 81. Well, maybe they don't know they do it. Maybe they're unconscious of the fact that they're providing such an influence on their children. I don't know. But, Pastor, go ahead, 81-12.
I was just going to say that, you know, in my case, it was tragedy.
Okay.
You know, there are many things that can divide a family.
Sure.
There are certain
things,
as you said, that's instilled within that family. There'll come a point where it'll come back to them, and and hopefully, by the grace of God, they find their way back as a whole. And and a lot of people is not, a lot of people haven't found their way back as a whole. So I still truly feel blessed.
Yeah.
However, we may not be whole, but we wholeheartedly.
Right.
Yeah.
And united as a family.
Uh-huh. I think, Pastor Waller, tell me if I'm wrong, but I think what is important is that as we come even to try to help people deal with drugs, deal with alcohol, and any other sorts of addiction that they may have, it's important that they understand that they've got to go back to the foundation where you receive these
values. That may have been where their foundation started at.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. And that's why our focus has to be 81-12. to make sure people understand that what we're going through didn't pop out of the sky, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's a result of our poor early orientation, good or bad, good or bad.
Yeah.
Now, there are people, it's been said, and it's true, that there are people who grow up in ideally good homes and homes with certain values being taught to them, and then they get away from the home and just go buck wild.
Yeah. Yep.
I would argue, though, that at some point somebody didn't tell them that, listen, you don't just do the things that you're taught just so you don't get in trouble, but you do them out of understanding. Is that right, Pastor?
Yeah.
The Bible says
yeah.
He that in all thy getting, get what, Brother Pastor?
Get understanding. You know, it does say that, and that's the thing about, you know, if you're in the street, you're going to get some understanding because that's what the street life has to offer. And I want to share something with you, if you don't mind me sharing this, because you're talking about how to bring families back together. Well, my sister, my oldest sister, turned 70 a few days ago, and they had already said they was going to have something for her and everything. And one of the daughters and the granddaughters asked me, say, would you say something when we have what we're going to have for her? And, well, I know where they was going to have it at. It's like at a location I've never been there, and I'm sure they're going to be having the drinks and everything. They're going to party down. My sister just turned 70. But they asked me, would I say something? And I said, oh, my goodness, they didn't ask me, would I say something? So I know good well I wanted my sister to enjoy herself and everything. So when I did get out there, make a long story short, they was in there swinging and dancing. And when I first went in there, it was a ma over there. And the guy asked me, he said, would you have something to drink? And I didn't say no. I didn't say yeah. I just said it wasn't strong enough. And he said, ain't strong enough. He said, I said, no, what you have right here is not strong enough. I didn't say I didn't want it. I used to be innocent, Kavasi, and all that, but I just said it wasn't strong enough. And then he said, well, you got some water? And I said, well, that's the closest you can come up with. I take the water, be like that. So, anyway, and after that, and they're still in there doing what they're doing and everything. So finally, they let about 30, 40 minutes go by, and they asked me, so you ready to say something for your sister? And so I got on up there and grabbed the mic, and I gave God his props. I let people know about how good God had been to me, and I made mention of some things that my sister could relate to. I said, my sister turned me out. That's what I hear to people. And so, on the old days, I said, I remember, you know, going to the Jew joint and had a nickel in my pocket and go over and play it and had listen to the Temptation. I run back home. I said, and then she introduced me to the old days. And the old days said, for the love of money. I said, I ended up running after that money. I corrupted my whole community. And
wow.
Then I came on into where I was going there because I'm celebrating my sister now. So me father I done gave God his props and letting it be known how much I appreciate him because I said in all my ways I have to acknowledge him. So y'all asked me to talk. So anyway, I said on behalf of my sister, I want to let you know how much I appreciate you and how much I thank you. I said because had it not been for the OJs, I said I won't be standing here talking to you right now. I said because that is an album that came out in the year 2000 asking the question about, you know, it came out in 1980, but they asked a question about how old do you think you'd be in the year 2000? And, and I said, well, in 1990, I'm thinking about, wow, in 1980, they asked that question. I said, I was on drugs real heavy. And I ran for some help in 1990. I got delivered in 1992. And this is what I told them. I said, so I want to thank you. I said, because in 1993, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, I was still holding on. I said, you know that song they got by Prince talking about we're going to party like it's 1999? I said, I'm thinking about 1999. I'm trying to find out what I'm going to be doing in the year 2000. And I told them I was 8 years in business when the year 2000 came. So, you know, and then I said, I'm going to dance with my sister now. I said, I'm going to dance with her. I know earlier they were talking about people go to the club and they're going to be drinking. But not everybody.
Right.
That's what 81% was saying. And so
right.
I told the people I'm getting ready to dance. I didn't know they'd go put it on Facebook. Man, I got to dance with my sister.
Oh, my God.
And they got it all on Facebook. All that. Oh, Lord. I didn't know they could do all that kind of stuff. Man, they just couldn't wait to put that stuff on Facebook. So they got me out there dancing. Listen, they got me out there dancing now right there. They keep me out there getting down. Because I told them from the start, I said, I'm going to do it like I used to do it now. I said, I'm going to do a little something because of my sister.
So before they go to running, I'm like, the preacher, he out there dancing and all that. I said, yeah, okay, well.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Hey,
I was enjoying the season, man. You know, that's bringing families back together and letting them know that you don't have to do drugs or drink and all that stuff because you go to the club. It's just about what are you applying in your life. If y'all see that on Facebook, y'all would be like, man, look at the preacher out there doing what he's doing. But it's amazing. It was Joy, 70 years of age, and I just wanted to celebrate that with her. And I thought I'd share that with you.
Yeah, well, did you do the two-step, Pastor Wallace? Did you do the two-step?
Watch. Hey, you got to watch it, man. Watch the little segment that they got, man. I tell you, y'all, I had to see it myself. They showed it to me. They sent it to me and let me see it. I said, oh, man. I seen you out there two-stepping and saying that there, and then you just followed up. But that's bad.
Yeah,
I let my sister have her joy. And I mean, I said I knew she could dance years ago anyway, so I said, I'm going to go ahead on. And she stood there and waited for me. I asked him, I said, do you have for the love of money? I know that's what I was turned out on. I said, but I want you to know if you got the love train up in here. And so they played the love train with AJ. And my sister broke out, and I said, oh, my goodness, she wasn't ashamed. So I got to go on in and deal with it. And that's just her and I on the floor. And
well,
the people allowed
us.
So it was a joy, man. It was a joy.
Pastor, I appreciate you sharing that because I think what we need to realize is that when you come correct and you come real with people,
that's right.
You don't have to put on. You can be 100%, right? Now, I love the way you framed that, Pastor. Your reason for dancing and your motivation is different than what it used to be.
Because, like you said,
music is a language, and guess what? Dance is a language of expression.
That's correct.
But if we were, look at the time. We just got 13 minutes here. If we were to apply this though to the family unit and putting broken families back together, let's understand that it's only broke. Is only broke when anybody, doesn't matter who it is, deviate from God's intention for the family. And that is to be a witness to creation. All right? In Genesis, the first chapter, he instructed Adam and Eve, be fruitful and to multiply and replenish the earth. If we're doing or saying anything that is destructive in nature, that is causing regression, that is causing oppression, that is causing digression. Guess what? We're not fulfilling the creation scheme or the promise of creation. And I would say that there are a lot of good people in urban America who can greatly benefit from those principles. And if we care anything about them, I'm putting my preacher hat on right now. If we care anything about them, we would go and tell them the honest truth that what God wants you to do, the creator of the universe, is to be in order. And when you do that, your babies and everybody else can be happy. So, brothers, don't be going to the club or to the church looking for no girls or no tight dresses or no pants or spandex or whatever. You understand what I'm saying? I told my son, ain't nothing wrong with you finding a young lady attractive and nice, but get yourself ready and have yourself together before you go run that game. You understand? Don't run no game in the first place, but have yourself together
in
your conversation. Yeah. So, but
because when
you
come trying to run game gonna get ran on you, and you won't like it. Yeah.
Oh man. Outcast, you've been quiet, man. What say you?
You know me, I just I keep my mouth shut on that. I'd rather be quiet on that one, God. You know what I have to say.
Well, not too
faithful, so I'd be quiet.
Yeah. Well, sometimes it hurts, though. You know, when you think about it, it does make you, it can make you a little frustrated, a little upset to think about it, because I think we all have them in our families. Situations and cases where there's room for improvement. You know what I mean? And you don't mean any harm to your loved ones. That's why earlier when I was talking about in the monologue, communication is key growing up. You got to learn how to be honest with your loved ones, your family. Tell them the truth, even when it hurts.
Remember,
you know, and let them know I'm telling you this because I love you. Go ahead, 8120.
Remember when people was keeping things swept under the rug all the time?
Right,
and it
right.
Stopped at one generation. It kept going and going.
That's absolutely right.
And now these days, young folks, they don't give two shoot-a-doots what they say to their elders, let alone their parents.
No. Or
some
for one
of
them, another.
Not everybody. Some of them, they could care less
but,
what they say to their own mama, because I know a few of them in this family, I done bowed to hit them in their mouth. Not in front of me,
no,
you won't.
Don't you do that.
I will. They know it. So stay away from me. You won't disrespect your mother. My mother's a deceased. You won't do it to yours.
Right. Well, believe it or not, it is something that our babies got to learn. They got to learn. And we have to be focused and deliberate about teaching them. Because if you don't, you're setting them up for failure. The Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long. That's a promise. That's a promise. He promised that you can live forever if you show honor to your father and your mother. And it bothers me to see so many young people die early just out of disobedience, you know, and disrespect. And sometimes, often, they don't even know they're doing it. They're not aware of what they're, you know, the consequences of their action. Well, the question becomes,
I'm not going to say some of them. A lot of them do know what they know exactly what they're doing. They do it because their parents allow them to do it.
Okay.
If they
do
it to me, what does that say?
Right. So let me say this, 8112. I hear what you're saying. They know what they're doing. And I had this conversation with a couple of college professors. So there's two levels of consciousness, right? One is, yes, you see and you're there in the moment. Then there's a level of consciousness where you really understand how what you're doing impacts you and others around you, not just in the moment, but long term. I'm not so sure, 8112, how many of the young folk today have that second level of consciousness. You know, does that make sense to you? And that's where we need to get them to not just living. Go ahead. Who was that?
Me. I was gonna agree with you. And here's the sad thing. You're going to have a lot of those that live, people living to the age of 70, 75, 80, and looking back and only having living 3 years of actually developing that consciousness.
Wow.
And dying and true sorrow to waking up to the fact that I've been wrong all these years.
I see.
That's sad.
Yeah, that's terrible. That's what that is. That's terrible.
You know, you got old people now trying to act young only because not consciously, but they just trying to do what society says is living. But when they actually have time to come to themselves, they get, dang, I wasn't living. I wasn't living for me.
So watch this. 3072, and this to your point, they come to the realization that as a child, when I was a child, nobody taught me what real fulfillment, success, and happiness was.
Yes.
So I was looking for it in all the wrong places all my years. So it's almost as if my life was a lie. I hate to say it that way, but there are a lot of very bitter people who are, you say, in old age that now are regretful of this and that and the other. But, again, we can't change their life, but what we can do is to provide Pastor Waller the proper guidance and instruction when we come to people. I don't believe you should come to people, open up their Pandora box, their pain and their sorrow, and you don't have an answer for it. You know, if you're not prepared to really address the core issue, you shouldn't do that. Leave them alone. It's better that you leave them alone.
Right.
So that's why we're having this conversation in part. Pastor, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just meditating on the thought of the language, because after all, the dress brings forth a language. You know, the talk brings forth a language. You know what I mean? The sound of it, the music they play, all these things has a language, man. And we, if we change and rearrange the language and bring it back to what it need to be, and put a language out there that they can become aware of, that it's all right to dress in a certain way. Yes, sir.
You do that, the pro program gets you.
Let me. We got about 4 minutes, 4.5 minutes. I'm gonna give you the pro pastor. Hold that thought, let me get a final word from everybody. Yeah, because we got good. Let time get away from. We'll be back Thursday, though. We'll be back Thursday. Don't worry.
Yes, sir.
Outcast, you got a final topic, brother?
No comment.
All right, we appreciate you, man. What about 3072? Right quickly.
I was just gonna say, teach the babies. Teach the babies. They're our future.
They need it. They need it. All right, 8112.
God bless us all, and everybody have a wonderful night.
Bless you. Thank you, darling. Appreciate you. I don't know what happened to my other caller there that was on 1111, but nonetheless, I hope you gained from our conversation. With that, Pastor, go ahead. What were you saying now? I apologize for cutting you off there.
Yeah, I was just actually saying that, you know, it's good to be able to get a language that would be able to bring forth something positive in the communities, and that's what the practice should become. Because the language is a language that's being practiced, and other people feeding into it, and that's why they end up drifting so far. Even with up under good training, sometimes it's the temptation and the power of it, you know, overtakes the people because they want to fit in. So I just wanted to just encourage everyone who had something to say versus those that were just listening. There is power in togetherness, and I wanted to talk about it for a brief 30 seconds about what it says in Psalms 133, verse 1. It says how good and how pleasant it is to dwell together in unity. If we start exercising and putting unity in motion, my, what a change. That's what I'd like to leave on the table. What a change that would bring. Because that's a strong language. You know how perfect, you know, it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. Picture that language being put in motion, man. You know, you see a change come on in.
Ain't that
glory to God.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. www.bfcinstitute.com. That's our website. Please go there. Look at us. We need your help. Make your contribution. And help us to get this thing going, continue it going. Lord willing, we're scheduling some things in the near future for 2019. So we need your help. Thank you, Pastor Waller, for all that you do, my friend, and to all of our callers that's been faithful with us over the months here. We're looking forward to move forward, and we'll see how God blesses us there. Again, www.bfcinstitute.com. If you want to give me a holler, you can call me at 615-498-4669 or email me at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. Be happy to entertain questions or comments in that regard. And, again, we appreciate all of you. We appreciate the caller. For some reason, we couldn't connect with them, but appreciate them calling in and following us there. And McFadden says, ain't no stopping us now. That's what we'll leave on tonight.